Hi guys, welcome back to All the Buzz. I'm your host, Sydney Sadik, and today I am bringing on one of the OG, original New York society style girls turned entrepreneur, and that is Julie Maclow. You've probably seen Julie in Vogue. She's attended the Met Gala many times. She was one of the original women who were photographed by the iconic and legendary photographer, Belle Cunningham, and I had the best time speaking with Julie. I feel like she's one of those women who, you know, definitely give off the vibes of being a party girl, but then you speak to her and there's a lot of going on beyond the partying. She definitely is a businesswoman at heart, and she has launched so many successful different businesses, her latest being her own line of whiskey. And she is just so cool. She's so fun. She tells it how it is. She is my kind of woman. And without further ado, meet Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi, thank you for having me. So excited to be here.
Thanks for being here. I'm so excited to have you. We've never officially met, but I've seen you around New York at so many events. You're involved in so much that goes on in this city. And I think my favorite place that I've ever spotted you at was the Met Gala.
Yeah, I went to a lot of those Met Galas. I think 15, if I count them correctly. I think I started in 2007.
That's crazy. Like, who can say they've been to 15 Met Galas?
Yeah, it was actually, you know, it used to be a fabulous thing to go. Then at some point they changed it where I couldn't even get out my front door. I think the last one I went to, I was wearing this amazing pink feather dress by Christian Cowan. I was like Glenda the Good Witch with this whole LED thing. And as I was trying to get out my front door, I almost got smushed. And then like some skateboarder basically had to take me around the block, like 10 blocks, because I couldn't walk across the street. I'm like, I'm done, because I live right across. I was like, this isn't for me.
It was
my last one.
Did you have to work with Anna Wintour on approving all of your looks? Like, did everything
so I think that normally that is standard. I never did it. I think that's actually why I got probably so much press from the Met Gala, is because I sort of always did my own thing. I would sort of pick a designer, we'd come up with a creation. Unlike most of the people attending, I actually would pay for it. Yeah. And, you know, we always tried to find something that was new and exciting. I love supporting young designers. I still remember Philip Plain made me this, like, head-to-toe, like, I rewore it for Halloween as 3D from, like, Star Wars. It was like a mirrored jumpsuit, which was amazing.
I was also at that Met Gala when you were wearing that.
You know, the Met Gala used to be a real thing. I think, you know, it got a little bit watered down after COVID.
Yeah. I love, though, that you used your gown or your outfit, whatever, as a Halloween costume. Like, that's sustainable fashion right there.
Yeah. And actually, you know, the majority, I used to have an entire apartment filled with ball gowns. Obviously, no one wears those anymore. I actually donated them all to FIT. I was chairwoman of the board, and, you know, now they have a better home. I was like, my kids are never wearing these.
Wait, that is absolutely amazing. You must just have like this incredible archive that is everything that you've worn. Like, you are truly one of the original, I feel like, New York style it girls.
I mean, I have a lot of clothes. I still try to like purposely give them away, but now I have a teenage daughter who's 17. Yeah. So I feel like it's just a shift from my closet to hers, which is reusable. But there's certain, you know, old school favorites, like some vintage McQueen that were in the exhibit and stuff that I'll never part with.
That's so cool. Wait, I want to know, though, what is the craziest Met Gala memory that you have for people who are Met Gala obsessed,
well,
like me?
So I remember there was, as I was exiting, the very famous race car driver, Jeff Gordon, his wife and I had the exact same red Oscar de la Renta ball gown on.
At the same time.
At the same time. And we managed to exit at exactly the same time. And all of the photographers like went nuts on us. I was like, how did this happen? And that was, again, before social media. People weren't as much on Instagram. Obviously, PR didn't check off that we bought the same dress.
Yeah.
yeah, that was a little bit of like a Met Gala disaster. Another favorite, though, when I was in like my Glenda the Good Witch feathered outfit, I always had a flask, actually, of alcohol with me. And it was, like, tucked under my dress. And I remember, like, there's this long reception line to get into the dinner.
Yeah.
And I remember pulling it out, and Jeff Bezos was right next to me. He was divorced, but not with Lauren Sanchez yet, or officially yet.
Yeah.
And he's like, can I have a sip of that? I'm like, sure. And I just, like, passed him a sip of my whiskey.
And he took it.
Yes. It was super funny. He's like, thank God for that whiskey.
That is hilarious. hilarious. Did you keep in touch with him after that?
No, I did not. I mean.
And wait, did you get in trouble for bringing in, or like no one knew?
Well,
like,
no one knew. It was under my dress.
That is so clever. I feel like that's like what you do with like a Judith Lieber purse. Like someone who works with us here, she has a martini Judith Lieber. I'm like, you should just fill that up and like take it with you.
A lot of people say my gold bottle looks like it should be a handbag. So I was very inspired when I did my package design by fashion, by purses, by cologne bottles. Which we'll get into.
We are going to get into that. And that is really my official first question for you, because we're now asking our guests to bring an item with them on set that symbolizes their brand, what they're working on. And you very much have this very cool line. It looks super cool. I've not tasted it, of whiskey here. So tell us about what you brought.
Yeah. So, you know, this is our signature flagship bottle, the Macklow Gold. This is our Kentucky made product. Yeah. You're actually the first to see our smaller sizes, which are just in some of the best hotels like the Mark and the Carlisle and the Ritz that we're just launching into the market. And then this is our original 700 ml super high-end collector's bottles. Think of it as your like Black Amex, and these are, you know, $1,500 each. So we can get into, you know, why I started it and how each one happened, but that's sort of the overview.
We are going to get into that, and the packaging is absolutely stunning. I want to know, because like when I first learned about who Julie Macklow was, when I was just getting my start in New York in the world of editorial, you were the socialite. Do you still identify yourself as a socialite today?
That is a great question. I'd say absolutely not, which is sort of funny because I feel like I did it for so many years, and it's like, I think you'd have to pay me to go to a gala at this point. Like, I try, I'm like, I'll send a check, just don't make me attend. But it was such a huge part of my life. I think when COVID happened and I started my whiskey, it just sort of fell to the side. It's not that I don't enjoy fashion and, you know, I love dinner parties and stuff, but I think like there becomes a point where you've done all the galas.
Yeah.
And I got to that point. And my husband always jokes when I was going to all the galas in my 20s and 30s, he's like, I've already done it. I grew up in New York, like I'm over it. And I never actually thought I'd get to the I'm over it point.
Yeah.
But you know, as I sit here in my mid 40s, I'm like, I'm a little over it. Like, been there, done that.
It makes sense. Do you find that the women who are also part of that circle, like the Yaz Hernandez of the world, like, have they also, do you feel like, reached that tipping point, or are they still going? Are you like,
I think a lot of them are still going. And I give them, you know, congrats. I love Yaz. I love a lot of my friends in the world. I think for me, the difference is I've shifted my focus so much on the whiskey. I'm on the road 24/7 and traveling and working so much that just doesn't allow time to do that. I think at some point, you know, when this simmers down, and I have like the ability to get more involved in the charity world again,
yeah,
there'll be another moment to do that. But what's nice about New York is sort of you can dip in and out of different worlds and different things, and it allows such a breadth of experiences. That being said, you know, I definitely will show up at like the Southampton Hospital gala and the occasional one. It's just not with the frequency that I used to have.
Don't you also feel like there's such a big difference between going to like a Hamptons event versus here? Like for me, like you, and I'm 30 and I've not gone to the amount of parties that you have, but I had to cover them every night for my job at the Daily Front Row. And like, there's something about just having to, I don't know, leave the apartment in your heels, getting from point A to point B. Like in the Hamptons, it's easy and I don't mind it as much. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like a little more intimate.
More casual.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think Bill Cunningham, God bless him, rest in peace, said, I started single-handedly the wear a ball gown with sneakers trend, because I got so sick of wearing high heels under my gown and like my feet were killing me. So I finally like just put on a Nike. I'm like, screw this. And that's, I think I started that like 15 years ago. And then obviously everyone caught on to that trend, because like who wouldn't want to be in sneakers versus heels?
Yeah.
But I do think that is what makes New York fabulous, that you can go to the opera and you can go to the Met Gala, but there's all these other amazing charities. And, you know, if you're busy, you can send a check and support them, which is sort of the mode I'm in right now.
Yeah.
But if you want to get more involved and go attend, there's so many great things. The Central Park Conservancy just happened, and watching all those ladies in those cuckoo hats is always amusing. You know, so there's no lack of like interesting fun things to do, which is what makes New York, New York.
Totally.
And then if you want to hide in your apartment and do none of it, you can also do that.
Whatever works for you. I feel like what's so interesting is it seems like this moment that you're in now, really focusing on you as the entrepreneur, the businesswoman, kind of is a full circle moment to how you got your start. Because before you were a socialite, you had a whole career in finance. I want to hear a little bit just about who you were when you moved, I believe. Where did you move from?
Yeah, so
from Aspen?
A little background. So just to lead off with your point. So after I moved here out of college, University of Virginia, I worked in finance, and then I worked for Steve Cohen. And I'll never forget, I think it was 2008, opening Vogue. It was between Sarkozy and Michelle Obama's issues, and I was the Vogue it girl. And I remember Steve Cohen saying, You're an IT girl? Like, what's that? And, like, they were all making fun of me. I was working on the trading floor. They're like, IT girl, fix my computer. I'm like, whatever. So I had this, like, super serious career. I was running his consumer retail. I was working night and day in finance in Asia before, which is, you know, where I started collecting whiskey, because basically I would spend all my dinner allowance in gift shops and duty-free stores because I had no time except for literally to go buy something on the way. So I was super serious, day and night worker, finance career. Then I worked for Millennium. And I'd say it was sort of in that journey of living in the all-male world that I started drinking whiskey, because that was like the assimilation with the boys. And one of my girlfriends just told me the other day, she's like, I still remember you at New Yorkers for Children in this giant blue Oscar de la Renta ball gown with like your whiskey in hand. She's like, I have like this vivid memory from 20 years ago. So it was like always my drink to like, you know, be feminine yet masculine.
That's very cool. It's very much like reflective of your journey to where you are right now. When did you come to New York? At what point in your life? Like right after college?
So I was originally born in Aspen. I actually spent third and fourth grade here. My parents are both New Yorkers. Okay. Then they moved to Arizona, got divorced, and I went to University of Virginia. I moved here immediately after college. I actually interned for Goldman Sachs in 1998. I mean, don't age myself. Yeah. And I was like hellbent to get that finance job, get into investment banking, or it ended up being private equity, and get here right away. So I moved here in 99 when I graduated, because I graduated in 3 years, yep. Total nerd. And I was like, I'm going to make money. I'm going to be in finance. I worked for Chase Capital, which then became JP Morgan Partners. They needed an analyst to go international. So first I was like, oh, I'll go move to Tel Aviv, which I did that for a couple months. Then they needed somebody in Asia. So I raised my hand. I moved to Hong Kong at 23. I didn't know anyone. And they put me on a job in Korea. And I was literally living out of a suitcase between Hong Kong, Korea, Singapore, and I would work day and night. And I still remember this crazy scene where I was in the Hotel Latte. My entire management team was, I don't know, 20 men, Chinese and Korean. Yeah. And the president of Kumho Tire, because I was working on the leverage buyout of Kumho Tire, holding my whiskey, start serenading me in the middle of a management meeting, because they had never seen like a white female analyst ever. Yeah. Needless to say, I had the worst food poisoning in my life. I had to have Cipro FedExed from the U.S. before I could leave my bed.
Oh my gosh.
It's quite the experience to do it. Yes.
Yeah,
but that is where I started genuinely like collecting one whiskey bottle at a time.
And then what made you get out of the finance world? And you then went into skincare with Bobby Boutte. Like, what was the next chapter?
So that was an interesting journey, I should say. So I started investing into startups. While I was still in finance, I actually gave the seed capital to these gals from Bobble Bar. They today their business is $100 million. I gave them their first $100,000, Amy and Danielle. I was like, and I started spending some time with them. I was on their advisory board. I'm like, oh, this seems like way more fun what they're doing than what I'm doing. Whereas like, while I was working on the hedge fund world and I was running the portfolio, I mean, people are yelling, throwing things. My husband would tell you I was the meanest version of myself. Yeah. It was a super intense job, super crazy. Everything you've like watched in Billions, that was my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, I still have PTSD and like wake up at 3 a.m. like, oh, I need to go check the stock market in Europe. So, you know, fast forward, I was like, I like what they're doing. So I was like, I'm going to start a, you know, everyone's like, oh, you have great skin. Like, I have no makeup on right now. I was like, oh, I'm going to go start a skincare company. Like, stupidest idea of my life. But it was honestly a great learning curve that I'd never worked in a company. I always was fascinated since I was meeting CEOs and CTOs and investing in companies. I understood finance, right? I understood balance sheets and cash flow statements, but I never lived the numbers. Like, I never knew what inventory is. And so this was like where I start thinking, oh, I'm going to start. Now, a woman was like, we should start a makeup company. Obviously, I should have started a makeup company because that became the like next big trend. Yeah. I was like 10 years ahead of the organic skincare trend, but it ended up being great. We launched into 200 boutiques. Bergdorf started with us. I remember the original It Kit was actually started because I was traveling to my friend's wedding in Versailles, and they took my toiletries.
The worst.
The worst. And so I created this cute little clamshell that was metallic and gunmetal with my five essentials, and the five essentials became V-Beauté. And we launched at Bergdorf Goodman, and then like into Fred Siegel's and Nordstrom's, all these mom and pops. And then one of my friends is like, you should do Home Shopping Network. And I started doing Home Shopping Network. And I spent, I think, almost 6 years on Home Shopping Network. And those are really, it looks so glamorous, but trust me, it is not.
Are you like you commuting to Florida? Is that where you
were
going?
You're in Tampa every two weeks. You're working 36 hours straight, no sleep, like off the plane, into meetings, you know, doing a 24-hour, like it used to be live at 2 a.m. It was crazy. So I then got pregnant with my later in life child. I'm like, you know what? This life isn't for me. What I really like is golf and whiskey. I'm still a crappy golfer, but scratch drinker. I'm like, oh, I know how to do packaging and marketing. So time to go follow my dreams. And that's how I started on this.
As you're telling me this story, like it's just A, amazing to hear how much you've hustled and how you've like kind of realized like when you should do something different and next. Like that's hard for a lot of people to do. Did you ever feel like with the women who you were socializing with in New York that you didn't relate to them? Like not to say that.
That's a great question. So I will tell you my life for most of like my social network.
Yeah.
I'm like the alien. Like
I believe that.
Yeah. They're like, what are you doing? And even recently I was literally sitting at somebody's apartment. I'm going to leave him unnamed in Miami. Owns a bunch of successful nightclubs. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, why are you doing this? And I guess, for me, I like working. Yeah. I've always been a worker. I've always been a hustler. But it's also like it keeps my brain going.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, they say you want something done right, give it to a busy person. And I always like to be challenged. And there are definitely, in my world of like the Upper East Side socialites, a lot of people who do not work or, you know, have fake jobs.
Yep.
but, you know, I've always been into like girl power. And yeah. I have two daughters. And my view is like to really teach them to be good citizens, you have to lead by example. And that means, you know what, I'm not going to make every game, and I'm not going to be in every parent meeting, and I'm going to be on a plane when you don't want me to be. But, you know, that's the way it is. And I'm a hustler. And, you know, what I don't show on, like, Instagram is, like, every beverage director waiting for them to show up for 30 minutes, or the people who say no, or the people are telling you, why are you doing this? Like, you don't show, like, the really hard things. You show only the fun, easy things, right? When you're like living in a world of social media.
Right.
But same in finance. And it was like, you know, you had to work hard. You had to hustle. You had to really be out there to get an edge. I am in like all these restaurants, always on planes, staff training, going from city to city. Like you land, you go to back to back to back meetings, into cocktails, into happy hours with your distributor, into like another meeting. It's like till 11 p.m. and then rinse and repeat. And you don't show that. Like no one talks about like how difficult it is. And I know from all these HSN people, because a lot of them are still my good friends, like Hal Rubinstein and Trish McAvoy. Like, it just looks happy and go lucky. Like, we're having the best time of our life. No one really talks about it is a burn and a hustle, and you got to really love what you're doing to keep doing it. So I've always tried to tell my daughter, you know, like, find something you love and call it work. And yeah, that doesn't mean you don't have to first get the skills to do it. So for me, when I look back at V Beauté, which, did I do it too long? I probably did. But it was a great internship. It taught me so many skills that I never would have had to launch the whiskey had I not done it.
Totally. And I think that's great advice. And I think it's kind of like when you're, you know, looking at jobs for those who are kind of, you know, in the formative years of their life, figuring out what you don't want in your life and what doesn't work career-wise also helps you get to what does a lot faster, to be honest with you. It's those obstacles that make you better. I want to talk about your whiskey because I'm just so curious. And we now know why you started your own line of whiskey. But what makes this product different? And I doubt that all of our listeners are whiskey aficionados, but what makes this product different and special?
Yeah. So first, it's the first luxury American single malt. What is American single malt? Think of it as a bourbon had a baby with a scotch. It's born in Kentucky, all made in Kentucky. Our goal was to create the first, like, Ferrari of American single malts. Everything is sourced out of Kentucky, locally sourced, Kentucky water, the finest IC barrels. It's all aged in Kentucky, which means it ages much quicker than Scotch because, as you guys know, it goes from, like, 100 to 20 degrees there, whereas in Scotland it's only 50 degrees.
Yeah.
And everything's small batch. So this bottle is only 10 barrels.
Wow.
To be in this bottle, you have to have a 4.5, 5 ratings on stars to even go in there. When you see these big producers, they're doing hundreds of barrels together. They can put all the little crappy ones in. We can't do that. So we're like really handpicking each bottle. We sign signature every single one. Myself and I have one of the best living blenders. We just actually switched from Ian McMillan, who just retired after 50 years, to the guy who introduced us, Brendan McCarron, out of LVMH, Distill, Bunnehaven, who just took over. And what I really wanted was like a whiskey that appealed to men and women. When I looked at the bottles out there, I felt like, oh my God, they were all created by dead white guys. Like, every single bottle looked like the same.
Not anymore.
And I was like, I want something that was modern and interesting and like, was like Tom Ford met a whiskey bottle.
I see the Tom Ford inspiration. I feel like that's definitely, yeah, definitely.
And I think it's because I was in cosmetics before that I had that as a reference.
Yeah.
And part of the reason, you know, the bottle shaped like it was because I was like famous for always having a flask with me because I always felt like everyone's alcohol was terrible.
Yeah.
And I remember I used to have at the Mark an actual flask with the waiter's name and said, Hamid, get me a drink. Because they had such terrible alcohol that I'd always pour my own flask under the table. Since then, they've redone it. Fabulous selection. Obviously, I wrote them their beverage program when they started.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when you look at the little guy, you really can see, like, the flask-like inspiration that came from it.
You just got to wear a purse big enough, slip it in there.
Back pocket.
Or your back pocket, and you've got Maclo on the go, right? You are known, Julie, for throwing some pretty epic parties, like the city, the Hamptons. Yeah. I mean, and obviously this drink is meant to be served also at a party. What is the key to throwing, you know, these events? Like, take us inside. Like, what goes on at your parties that they're always talked about?
This is true, and you're going to think it's crazy. I never use a party planner.
Ever. Just you. You're doing everything. Wow.
Yeah, it's sort of crazy, actually. It's like my passion, though. And maybe I got into the alcohol business because, like, it's a merging of, like, parties and events and going out meets alcohol. Like, obviously, you need that, too.
Yeah.
Day of, I obviously have a team that helps me internally. So it's not. But I always say the first goal of a party is to have a good time. So what matters first? The people. I think sometimes people lose inside of that when they're so concerned about decor and how it looks versus having fun. And for me, that means great music, good food, great alcohol, fun people, and a great theme. And I think, you know, I was out the other night at the groups, or actually, sorry, the Fortune Most Powerful Women's dinner, and Susan Magrino's like, oh, you're not naked. I'm like, wait, you're still referencing like my party from 2 years ago where I was like almost naked? Like it was leather and lingerie. And I was like, I did have rock hard abs, but you know, like,
still do.
I'm like, wow, we're like really referencing that. And like, as I'm in a suit. But I think what I like to do is like be this chameleon, right? I can be the socialite. I can be the serious CEO. You can go have a good time. And when I have parties, I like to curate people who are interesting around each other, who also can really like get into a theme. And I think that's what makes a party wonderful are the actual people who are there. Often like last Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, I think it was a dinner for 85 people. It started for six, small dinner at my house, and then just kept growing and growing and growing. It was the best dinner ever. We had Timo DJ it, but it was like done, I think, a week and a half prior to the event. So wow. I'm also very good at last minute events. I'm a terrible planner. Don't ever ask me to go on vacation with you.
Okay. You're an impromptu on the go kind of a person. That is really fun. And with these parties, like you said, it's all about the people. So who is your core group right now? Like I've seen you in a lot of pictures with Julia Hart. Her daughter Batsheva was our very first cover star. Like who is your core group right now?
You know, what is funny about New York, and by the way, I was just texting with Julia yesterday. It's such a broad group, right? And there's like different groups. There's like my Aspen friends. There's your New York friends, there's your Hamptons friends, there's your Upper East Side friends, there's your school friends. Yeah. And like when you're as old as I am, which is at this point quite old, you have a lot of friends. So like my 45th birthday, which is also where we launched the original Maclo, and we, I think, went through like 200 balls of Cristal. I think we had like 1,000 people at that party. So, you know, the list goes broad, but it also can go small. And it depends what you're in the mood for. And, you know, so many years we hosted VH1 Save the Music. That was in my backyard in the Hamptons. I think those parties were like 750 people. Yeah. So, you know, it goes anywhere from like my best friends of like two or three people up to bigger dinners of 10 people up to my husband gets always annoyed with me because every dinner party he's like, let's have 8 to 10 people. And those are always 24 people. It's like clockwork. I'm like, but maybe just this couple or that couple. So I'm always like a more is merrier sort of person, which doesn't really work for everyone. But I'm always like, oh, just add that person, just add that person. If there's room, oh, just add that person. So like, I like more people around because I feel like I'm always learning things from other people. Yeah. And it's just like, makes it more interesting. And then I have like my bike friends, which are a whole different group of people. I mean, I meet a different person in Central Park cycling like every week.
That's amazing.
Yeah, randos. I mean, my husband's like, who's this person following you on Strava and making comments? I'm like, I have no idea.
But that's what makes you interesting. You're like inspired and, you know, around so many different personalities. Are you planning any parties this summer? You don't plan, but
no.
Are you thinking about it?
I do have, as I mentioned, Maidstone is opening a new hotel.
Yep.
So we're part of their opening, which we're really excited for. Same with the Ocean Club out in Montauk. In terms of actual parties, I've only made it through Memorial Day weekend, which I think is this weekend. So I haven't gone very far yet. I'm gone to Aspen Food and Wine in June and traveling a lot still for work. So my summer sort of starts when I get back from vacation in Iceland after July 4th week, and then I'll start focusing. I'm not... The beauty of having, you know, your own house, I think I have service for 150 people in my house, is that I don't need a lot of preparation.
There you have
it. It's a luxury.
We want an invite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Julie, are you ready to play a round of rapid fire?
Love rapid fire. Let's do it.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Half calf.
Favorite Hamptons nightlife spot?
Ooh, that is a tricky one. I'd say Surf Lodge.
Ooh. Favorite fashion designer right now?
Another hard one. Gucci died. I don't know. Send me some.
Okay.
Looking for it.
I think Alessandro Michele at Valentino could be very good.
Could be. Haven't
we don't know.
Seen it yet. Don't know. Yeah, I'm at a loss for that, though. I'd say that's a hard one right now.
Okay. That tells you a lot about what fashion is.
By the way, I still think Rick Owens is like good for core, but yeah. Somebody needs some fun newness right now.
Okay. Next question. Best snack to pair with your whiskey?
Best snack to pair with your whiskey?
Oh, best snack to pair with your whiskey? More whiskey.
Ah. Skiing or a day at the beach?
Always skiing. I hate warm weather.
So this is torture for you in the studio right now.
Yes, I want to go to Chile and go ski.
What is your mantra?
My mantra is just do it. Like, I know that's a Nike thing, but if you want something done, you just gotta go. And I'd say there's one more mantra I tell people who work for me. Act like you don't get your paycheck. Like, keep going.
I like that. Go to a concert or listen to music at home?
Concert. Love a good concert.
Very good. And last but not least, what is your go-to pair of sneakers?
Always hookahs. Am I saying that right? Haka hookah. I mean, love them.
Love that. Well, that is our round of rapid fire. And as we wrap up, Julie, I feel like you could be like a misconceived person, honestly. Like, you are such a, I don't know, like a melting pot. You have so much about you. What do you think is the biggest misconception that you've heard about you?
Well, I think it's easy to like write somebody off as a socialite versus say, oh, they're a serious CEO and have a real company. I think that's definitely something that can get crossed. I like to think I'm sort of both, but you know, it depends what hat I'm wearing and where I am. Also, I think because I do like to throw a good party, who doesn't like to be at my parties, that I can get like a party girl reputation. The reality is I've never gone to bed pretty much after midnight. So I'm really actually a quite early riser, up at like 5:30 a.m. every day. So I think it's very easy to judge people and be like, ah, there's somebody who drinks for a living. But the reality is I do love a good whiskey. But I also, you know, like sharing it with friends and having serious conversations. And it's easy to be projected by media as just like the, oh, that's a party person who's naked and, you know, the New York Post sort of person. So, you know, there's a serious element that necessarily I'm not out there actively promoting all the time. But that obviously is needed.
Right. And I feel like people are going to be able to see that here on All the Buzz today, which is great. Last but not least, what is next for you? What can we expect from you and your line of whiskey?
Yeah, so we're super excited. We hope to launch in fall with John George, actually, our first rye. It'll be a more accessible bottle, sub $100, which is super exciting. Our 200 mLs just launched exclusively to hotels, and we are exploring a strategic partnership with some of the big guys you've heard of. So, you know, might have a capital partner. Right now I own 100%. So maybe not in the future, but I'm hoping I still maintain it. Who knows? We're just, you know, exploring options right now. So all very exciting stuff. And, you know, I'm just fortunate to have amazing customers like yourself out to try the Macklow, themacklow.com. Please check out our website and try a bottle there. And thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Appreciate it.